Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. The country is frozen entirely on this Wednesday, the 8th of January in the year 2025. Tipperary, we're told, the coldest places overnight. Close to minus 6 there. Mayo not far behind as well. All of the north is under weather warnings too. Even Dublin had some frost at last. And I would imagine the Christmas decorations are still up in places, particularly across the white stripe of Ireland, as I'm calling it. We'll try to keep you interested over the next hour or so. Why not let us know how you're coping in the usual fashion, please? The WhatsApp is 087 032 32 32. You can text 51551 and you can email oliver@rte.ie. Yeah, the news is all about cold places, in fact, worldwide. Britain is also under the deep freeze as well. You have parts of Scotland falling to minus 20 today. So if you think things are bad here, over beyond, it's even worse. Although they'd be well prepared for it, wouldn't it, Scotland, over the winters they've had for decades, until recent years, I suppose. It's minus 15 across northern England as well tonight. And the melting snow further south in Leicestershire has turned into floods, so they're having a lot of problems across the water. And a huge swathe of North America blasted with ice, snow and wind. A polar vortex gripping everywhere east of the Rocky Mountains. And it's closed roads, schools, power outages as well, flight cancellations. And then sitting alongside that, the news from America, huge fires raging in Southern California. These are winter wildfires, which is a whole new thing, and aided by the windy conditions that they get in January, which now means that even hot places burn when it's cold. It is, looked it up, 16 degrees in around Los Angeles in that area of Southern California today. And sticking with the theme of cold, Donald Trump, 12 days away from returning to power, he is threatening to take control of the snowy landscapes of Greenland, which is run by Denmark, which could mean a trade war with all of the EU, because Denmark is in it, which would make Ireland's finances basically need a change of underwear. So that's the chilly prospects we face into for the next couple of months. By the way, in case you're waiting for it, still no government, still nothing happening yet. They decided a month ago to take some weeks off because, well, I suppose our fate is now in the hands of Elon Musk anyway and a handful of fellas at Facebook in Ball's Bridge in Dublin. So there's no point in doing anything in Dublin until the new masters out there decide what to do with us once the Trump empire returns and they put poor old Joe Biden into the attic with the decorations. So now we're kind of, I'm looking at the political correspondents desperately trying to make things interesting and telling us serious talks going on to decide the formation of the next government, even though we know what it is, lads. You know, it was kind of, it's over, it's done, put it in a bun. Micheál Martin and our new local leader, Michael Lowry, they will do up a coalition together over the next fortnight, might be 3 weeks, whatever they feel like. No hurry now at all, lads, no crises at all. And then they'll bring in Simon Harris. He'll hop up on Micheál's knee. He'll give him a Werther's original and his instructions then for the next couple of years. And then they agree the programme for government, which is a list of which election promises they're going to break first. Meanwhile, in the opposition, if you're looking for hope there, Social Democrats finally have woken up and they've realised nobody wants them. So they have formally and finally withdrawn from government talks. It's a bit like pulling out of a hen party that you weren't invited to. After the hen party has already happened and wrapped, the WhatsApp group is deleted and all the recriminations are underway. It's like, oh, we're not going to go to that. And Sinn Féin are, I don't know, just, like, I'm looking around, they're just laying very low. I don't know, but they're just getting ready to give out about all the same things in the same way with the same level of stink eye for another half decade. It's all very bleh. Has Irish politics ever been this dull? I mean, I think it's the dullest time since the Rainbow Coalition of the 90s. So instead, for all the fascination and interest and intrigue, we turn to Mr. Trump. And here are his latest plans for power. He does these sporadic press conferences where he kind of takes questions and just kind of rants at people. It's very reminiscent. It all feels very retro, like we're watching Reeling in the Years, but it's about now. Anyway, his latest plans for power, this is via The Daily Show's Desi Leidick overnight.
Trump announced one of those common sense kitchen table policies that Americans have been waiting for.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to The Gulf of America.
Yeah, let's do that. Why the hell not? Yeah, we have been so concerned about all the scary things that Trump's going to do. We forgot he's also going to do some really stupid things. I guess Gulf of America does have a ring to it, as in there was another horrific oil spill in the Gulf of America.
That's The Daily Show and Desi Leidick there. By the way, people have obviously been doing the research on this, and the Gulf of Mexico are international waters, so you can't just willy-nilly change the name. But all you need, I suppose, is the entirety of the American media to agree, right, we'll just call it the Gulf of America from now on, and that thing that nobody cared about and who didn't even think about himself now becomes the latest distraction from all the stuff that will actually happen. Which is why the lovely place to go now is to these very smiley teddies that I'm looking at in the news. Cuddly toys, we're supposed to call it. We call them teddies, really, don't we, in this country? And jelly cats. Do you know what the jelly cats are? Well, the jelly cat is a soft toy company. It's actually 25 years old, which I'm quite surprised about. And it was founded in London in 1999, expanded to Minneapolis, and has become a global cuddly toy company, basically. Selling in shops across more than 80 countries, including in Ireland. You can go to Arnott's and get the jelly cats. And the Amusable series. So it's a normal cuddly. Mostly the bunny is the most popular thing. And there's obviously a cat, as in the jelly cat himself. But the Amusables are a range of stuffed everyday objects, inanimate objects. They launched that in 2018, and this is hugely popular. And Jellycat makes everything, including a cuddly toilet roll, so it has a little smiley face on it. There's an avocado as well, sliced in half, a little smiley face there. There are cute little cuddly slices of cake. These are plush and very expensive soft toys. There are pretzels, little cabbages as well. There's even a fish and chip shop in Selfridges where you go in and they will do a pretend that you've ordered a fish and chips, which is like a battered cod. This is all cuddly toys. There's a little teddy with a face on it. That's in Arnott's. That's in Selfridges, the fish and chip shop. Arnott's sell a soft rugby ball, €55 there. The bunny is the most popular thing. You get it for £30. And they're all little. And one of the clever things the Jellycat company does is that when something becomes really popular, like a little apple or something, they discontinue the popular range, which causes a run on whatever stock they've left, and then there's a huge resale value. And that is where the jelly cats are in the news, because there is a jelly cat crime wave. You can't have anything nice in the world anymore. For all the sweetness and whimsy, The Guardian tells us this morning, the jelly cat phenomenon has a dark, strange underbelly. The flourishing secondary market for the jellies, which is because of the limited edition toys and retiring all the favourites and so on. Resellers on sites like eBay and Vintage, which is a second-hand clothes place mostly, they sell jellies for huge markups. A quick look shows that the three-piece Harrods tea set is now selling for twice the original price of £100. It's now costing over £200 or £220. And there are even organised crime gangs stealing to order. So retailers in England so far have gone to extreme measures to keep their jelly cats safe. CCTVs installed, security tags. They're also using facial recognition software to flag up possible shoplifters and automatic number plate recognitions in the car park. And this crime wave has outraged and terrified people because of the popularity. So something becomes good and lovely and nice and cuddly, and then it's crime wave. Not even the jelly cats are safe. It is desperately sad. 51551 for your text. The world needs to open its eyes. Elon Musk will be the next US president after Donald Trump in 4 years' time, says Donald. Well, Elon Musk wasn't born in America, so he can't run. Mr. Trump would have to change the constitution, but like, you couldn't rule anything out at this point. He's an American citizen, Elon Musk, and over 25 years or so. We'll come back to him another day. But thank you, Donald, for really making us feel very warm and cosy. Now, all week we have been checking in with various parts of the country, particularly Munster, that's been badly affected by the big snow of 2025, the Shnachta. Charleville has actually been one of the worst places. There are wonderful photographs from there, but behind all the nice photographs is hardship. They had 27 hours indeed of heavy snowfall Saturday into Sunday. The schools are still shut. It's taken a couple of days for the main roads to clear. Many rural places are not at all clear. They're totally snowed in. The power has been out for days in some places. Water, if it wasn't an issue already, it's fast becoming one because the temperatures are plummeting more and more. And inside the town itself, A pub's beer garden was destroyed. Snow collapsed the canvas roof. Guttering has come down on shops and buildings in the main street. It is -3 down there at the moment, and it's going to freeze all day and stay at -3 and get worse tonight. Canon Donal O'Mahony, he's the parish priest in Charleville. Good morning, Canon Donal.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
How are you? You've been up early this morning chatting to our team. You haven't seen the likes of this snow, have you, for many, many years?
I'd say 1963 was the last, I'd say, you know, full lot of snow that we got. 63 was very bad. It was in the fields that time. There was about a foot of snow on the fields for about 6 weeks that time.
Oh, wow.
And I'd say this time it has more or less the same, you know. A huge amount of snow, really. Huge amount of snow.
Huge levels of snow. You've been a priest down there how long in Charleville?
I've 9.5 years to 10 years, almost 10 years.
Oh,
now,
you're nearly that, 10 years. Very good. And we're quite surprised because it's quite a busy church, isn't it? The church, the Holy Cross Church in Charleville.
Yes, it is a busy church. It takes in a lot of villages around, and a lot of it's a very built up town, and there's a lot of villages around us as well that use the services of the church and the offices here and so on.
And you're bang in the centre of the town.
We are bang in the centre of the town, yeah. But for the moment, we have been rather marooned with all the snow.
Feels like the middle of nowhere at the minute. Monday was the holy day, of course, Feast of the Epiphany. That would normally be a busy day for the church and a lot of parishioners coming in. What happened this time?
Well, I'm afraid the conditions weren't suitable for people to come in, really. Certainly not by car. Some walked, all right. Some walked, and actually one person walked, and so we had to charge the phone because they had no electricity out the country. So they charged the phone before they went home into church, you know. So,
you're providing all sorts of services there. But the good thing is the Mass went ahead on the 6th of January.
Oh, it went ahead. We celebrated all the Masses, but we were just small numbers at all the Mass, very small.
Half a dozen or so. What would you normally have at Mass these days on a Sunday?
Well, we could get up to 800 to 1,000 people over the weekend, you know, up to weekend.
Really, across all the Masses?
Yeah, we would, yeah.
A surprisingly busy church for these times that are difficult for the church, obviously. But you've kept everything going. And there are daily Masses as well during the week still in Charleville.
We have daily Masses. Now the numbers obviously are small coming. But normally, you know, we could get 60 to 100 people at Mass on a morning Mass even at times, you know.
Wow, I'm very surprised.
So, but at the moment, obviously, they're down to a trickle.
Yeah, but you're still going.
We're still going. One good man yesterday morning who made it in on a four-wheel drive, he offered to clean the church, you know, of the snow, some of the grounds of the church, so I could get out myself and lots of people could come in. So he came back in an hour later with his machinery to clear some of the snow. So that has helped. At least I might be able to get out of the grounds myself now, because I haven't moved out of the grounds since Saturday myself.
Oh, you're totally marooned.
Well, yeah, well, there was a foot of snow around the car or so, yeah. So you just couldn't move.
So you had a volunteer who cleared the snow from around the church. I mean, I've seen the photographs, it's extraordinary. It must be fairly cold inside the church as well. It's difficult to heat it the best time.
With the heating on, it should be cold, but still, with the heating on, it brought down, it moved the snow on top of the roof.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, the sliding snow brought down some of the gutters.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a problem across the whole town. The gutters coming down.
The gutters in both sides of the church and in the back of the church were brought down. Not all now, but some there's damage on both sides and at the back of the church as well.
Gutters are down, marooned, but the Mass continues on. And I think one of the few parishes in the country still doing the daily Masses during the week. How long have you been a priest, Donal?
I've been priest since 1976.
Go away. That's nearly 50 years.
Nearly 50 years, yeah. Nearly 50 years. The next year will be the Golden Jubilee.
The Golden Jubilee. We hope you celebrate in style. And it's been a life worthwhile for you?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's a beautiful life, really, in many ways. It's difficult at times, right? Yeah. Difficult at times, but it has been a very blessed life, really, very, you know, a very fulfilled life. it's not an easy life by any means at times, but we plow on, and it's lovely to be able to help the people, especially in the prayer area and in the sacramental area, and in the confessional area particularly, can be a very, very beautiful area for people to come and receive the forgiveness of sin and so on. And that can be a lovely grace to many people.
You provided an incredible public service, particularly when it comes to funerals, because people don't darken the church very often, but when it comes to funerals, they really rely on the likes of you. So congratulations on your 49 years going into 50.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, while you were talking to me now, there was an undertaker on to me, so I'd have to ring him immediately.
It's a busy place. You do have help, don't you? You have a curate.
Yeah, I have a curate, yeah, and he's very helpful man.
Father Patrick Corkery. Very good.
That's right.
You're a Cork man yourself.
I'd be from the Mallow area, yes.
From Mallow.
Yeah.
Very good. So you're not in too strange a place. Listen, we better let you go because you have to say Mass as well at 10 o'clock, and the undertaker is ringing you, and we have to let you on. But thanks a million for chatting to us this morning. That's Canon Donal
O'Mahony.
Good
morning to all. Good morning to all.
Good
morning to all. Okay.
Thank you so much. That's Canon Donal O'Mahony there, and he's in fine spirits, and the snow is cleared around, and Mass is happening at 10 o'clock this morning inside Charleville, which is the Holy Cross Church. It's a spectacular looking church. Amazing. They've kept it going, and the numbers still going to it all the time as well. Maureen is on to us on the WhatsApp. I normally take down our decorations after Nullag na Mann, but I've decided to leave them up for another few days with this cold spell. I knew you would. I love to come down each morning, make a lovely coffee and sit with the Christmas tree lights on. It's such a lovely feeling, and it feels right in all the snow. Is anyone else doing the same around the country? She's asking. So yeah, I think they are. I think it's definitely on. It feels right, doesn't it? Because we had such a bizarre, absolutely bizarre Christmas where it was like 14, 15 degrees. Someone says daily masses are in most churches in Galway City still. There's no heavy snowfall there. Thank you for that messages. I know in rural parts up around that there's very few daily masses now. What about 2010? Very bad snow. It went on for ages, says JOC. Yeah, and 2010 is funny because it was a cold snap in January, and then there was another one, wasn't there, in November, December, which went on for 2 months as well. And there was the record temperature change around the 27th of December. I remember it because it's my birthday, and I think it switched from minus 17 to plus 12 overnight. And it's the highest temperature switch ever recorded. We're great for our weather records, random things that you don't really need to know on this morning. It is the 8th of January, by the way. It would have been David Bowie's birthday today, and he died on the 10th of January 2016. And that was just 2 days after he turned 69. And there was the release of his 25th studio album. He kept his illness a secret from the world, you remember. And it only emerged, later that he only discovered that his cancer was terminal 3 months before he died. Anyway, here's a lesser spotted song from 2003 album, Reality. It's a really great tune. Enjoy.